now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-movie podcast from classic cults and the cheese between the movies are beep, the entertainment is grade A. I'm your host, Jason Giaconetti, and this time out, I'm talking about 2025's Dangerous Animals, and I'll get to it right after this.
People don't understand the hierarchy of animals in this world. They don't think with their brains. They think with their guts. Now, what your guts understand is 300 razor-sharp teeth. Tearing flesh from bone.
Dangerous Animals was released in the United States June 6th and then in Australia June 12th. It actually debuted at Cannes May 17th, all in 2025. And then it released in Mexico. I don't know why it's here, but it's on here anyway, so I'll read it. September 18th with a 98-minute running time. Your director here is Sean Byrne. Now, Sean Byrne is an Australian filmmaker. He's best known probably for The Loved Ones and The Devil's Candy. The Loved Ones is probably the one I know him best for. And then your writer here is Nick Lepard. Your producers are a whole bunch of, then it's Troy Lumen, Andrew Mason, Peter Shilimanon, Mickey Liddell, Chris Ferguson, and Brian Kavanaugh Jones. Now, this ends up being, what is it? Well, your music is Michael Yurskevsky. It's produced, production company is LD Entertainment, Brouhaha Entertainment, Range Media Partners, Oddfellow Entertainment, distributed by independent film company Shudder, and then Kismet Movies in Australia, right? With a budget of $2 million and a box office about $9.2 million. This actually was a co-production between the U.S. and Australia, and it, like I said, it premiered in the director's fortnight section at the 2025 Cannes Film Festival. And then it was on Shudder. It was put out through Shudder. Well, it was first released by rebranding of IFC, and then Shudder and goes from there. Anyway, let's get to the plot. All right, so tourists Greg and Heather visit Tucker's Experience, a shark cage attraction run by an eccentric boat captain named Tucker. Well, I didn't tell you who the people are in the movie, because that's the part. So, Hassie Harrison is, known from the Iron Orchard and actually Tacoma FD and then Yellowstone. That's where we kind of know her from. She's not here just yet. And then you have Josh Houston, and that's from the Dive Club, the Hellbreak, Heartbreak High, and Bali 2022. Rob Carlton, Ella Newton, Liam Grenke, and Jai Courtney. Now, Jai Courtney is the main bad guy here, right? Kind of thing, right? Now, Jai Courtney, a lot of people might know where he played Kyle Reese in Terminator Genesis. He's Captain Boomerang in the extended DC universe in both Suicide Squad and The Suicide Squad. And he is the main villain. He is Tucker. Anyway, sorry. Let's get to this thing. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Greg and Heather go on the Tucker experience. While riding out in the ocean, Tucker remarks how he survived a shark attack as a child, which scarred him, and changed his view on the species. After two participants in the cage dive, Tucker suddenly kills Greg and abducts Heather. At the Gold Coast, an American drifter, Zephyr, reluctantly helps her real estate agent, Moses, start his car. The two bond over their love of surfing and later have a one-night stand. Although Moses hopes their relationship turns into something romantic, Zephyr drives away late that night without him to surf. There, she encounters Tucker, who abducts her. Moses arrives at the surfing spot the next morning, but finds no sign of Zephyr. The next day, Zephyr's van is towed, making Moses suspicious of her whereabouts, and he begins searching for her. Zephyr awakens chained to a bed in a room where Heather is also being held. Upstairs, it's revealed that Tucker is keeping them captive on the boat. Zephyr discovers he has done this same thing several times to other women and unsuccessfully in her attempt at picking the lock to her cuffs. Now, we find on the wall where people have carved stuff into their names and stuff. This is a horror movie, you know, kind of thing. And this is a guy who's insane and he's killing people. He's a serial killer and he's killing people and then feeding them to the sharks. That night, Tucker drugs Zephyr and Heather and the two awaken on deck. Zephyr is strapped to a chair and watches helplessly as Heather is hoisted into the air by a harness, hovering over the water, which is filled with sharks lured by Chum. Tucker sets up an old VHS camera to record as Heather is lowered into the water and devoured by sharks. It's revealed that Tucker is a serial killer who has done this multiple times. Zephyr manages to escape the room while being chased on deck. She throws his camera overboard in a scuffle before being recaptured. Furious, Tucker returns to land and docks his boat before going to buy a new camera, which is really funny because he's on there. This is, you know, supposed to be current day stuff, and he's buying an old VHS camera. So I'm going to dig through like the thrift shop or the whatever they call it over in Australia. Recognizes Tucker's van on a live webcam feed of the beach beach where Zephyr vanished from. Moses goes to visit him, unaware that he has left. He sneaks in the boat and he hears Zephyr screaming and discovers her. Zephyr instructs him to call the police, and as he does, Tucker returns and attacks him. The two struggle before Moses is knocked unconscious by Tucker's neighbor, Dave, who has been sending tourists to his cage experience, unaware of his murders. When Tucker then drives the... when Dave hears Zephyr scream, Tucker kills him. Tucker then drives the boat out into the ocean and puts Moses in the harness. Following Zephyr's advice to stay still, Moses remains unharmed by the sharks. Tucker stabs Moses repeatedly in his stomach to lure more sharks, but is forced to get everyone back inside the boat, and a lifeguard helicopter passes by. When Tucker waits for the coast to be clear, Zephyr makes another escape attempt after biting her thumb off. She bites her thumb off to get out of the shackles. She and Tucker have a scuffle where Zephyr gets drugged. In the process, she jumps into the water and attempts to swim to shore, where a wedding reception is taking place. However, she is pursued by Tucker on a dinghy and brought back to the boat. She and Moses awaken on deck, with Zephyr now in the harness, and as she is lowered into the water, a huge great white shark arrives, scaring off the other sharks, and starts prowling the area. Zephyr frees herself from the harness and falls into the water. There, she comes face to face with the giant great white, but it does not attack her as she stays still and it swims off. Zephyr then climbs on board Tucker's boat. On the boat, while Moses is near death, Zephyr shoots a shocked Tucker with a spear gun. Tucker falls in the ocean and is devoured by the shark, but with moments being caught on Tucker's camera, while Tucker sees before he's fully eaten. Zephyr signals a passing boat for help, and she and Moses affirm their future together. Now, it's a very fun movie if you like these kind of things, and I do, so it was very fun. it's a serial killer movie, so you have to be, you know, prepared for people getting killed and stuff. But it is, you know, it's not completely horrific at its nature. It's kind of, not to say like fun, but it's you kind of know what you're getting into here. And I always find that too with a lot of these movies, like the like where we know kind of what we're getting into when we start, and at the same time, you know you're going to get a lot of killing and there's blood and stuff and there's sharks and stuff, but it's at this there's always that little funny things they mix in, and Tucker has some really weird quirks that start to show themselves. So you know, it is, I think, a good time. Like I said, it's on. It was IFC and then Shudder. I actually picked up the Steelbook when it came out because I you know, I was pre-ordering things. But then it's also, it was available on Shudder. I don't know if it currently is, but it was. And it's well worth your time to watch if you enjoy those things. You know, it's not going to change your life. It's not going to be the best movie of 2025. I mean, it might be for some people, but it's not like, oh my God, this is like redefining my life. But it's a fun little jaunt. You know, for about an hour and a half, you know, with a guy feeding people the sharks and stuff. It's got some funny parts to it and stuff like that. But, you know, and it's not the life that all of us necessarily lived either, right? Kind of thing. Like, if you're not a surfer, you're not, you know, from Australia, you're not from whatever, even this might be kind of outside of your knowledge base. So, which is fine too. But it's always fun. Kind of these little movies that, you know, like, you hear about them, you're like, oh my God. Like, yeah, again, like everything else, like, it's not every horror movie is going to be the best horror movie you ever see. And then, but it was well worth my time and effort, tracking it down, watching it. I enjoyed it. But yeah. So have you seen Dangerous Animals? Did you check it out? Is it one of the ones that maybe you, you know, in your movies from 2025, is it on your Letterboxd? Like it is on mine, like, cause no one reads mine. So it doesn't matter. But like, you know, is it one of those things that you're trying to, you know, make sure you hit all those really cool films, you know, in 2025, especially the horror ones. And this is a good time. You're not going to be bored. It's, you know, it definitely, there's not a ton of twists and turns. If you don't see things coming, I don't know, how in depth a horror fan you are. Anyway, I can definitely say this, again, it's not for all ages, but, very much unlike the last movie I reviewed, which was Bone Lake, which was certainly not for kids. This one is not for kids, but it doesn't have all the sex stuff, so you don't have to worry about all that stuff anyway. All right, folks. Well, thank you for coming along for Dangerous Animals. Excuse me, I was a Dangerous Game. The Most Dangerous Game from 1932 or 33, whatever. Shot in the same sets as King Kong. So thank you guys for all the downloads and listens. Thanks for all the support. I truly appreciate it. I appreciate everyone's, you know, always coming back to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, you know, and making sure that we, you know, to check out what I'm putting out there. Anyway, no idea what's coming next. I literally have no plan. This year is kind of up in the air. Except for like the next Friday the 13th movie in the summer, I don't have a whole lot of planned out for this year. So I'm kind of playing it by ear and seeing what I like and what it could come across. But like I said last time, I've been getting a lot of new releases, these 4Ks of movies I haven't seen in a while, but I really enjoyed those movies. And I'm like, man, I'm going to check that out in 4K. So that might be something I start doing, start watching some of those older movies that I've seen now cleaned up in 4K. And by older, I don't necessarily mean like from the 20s and 30s and 40s. I mean, maybe stuff from like the, you know, the 80s and 90s, you know, that I haven't watched in a while that might be worth revisiting. Anyway. All right, folks, I'm just yabbering. Have a good one. Thank you all for your support. So keep those cards and letters coming and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots, Bugs, Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?